There is going to be an international border camp, but...
The first city in France as you cross the German-French border at this point. And, well, this area, it's the area is called Alsace in French and Elsass in German. And this area has changed ownership over the past couple of hundred years repeatedly. And practically this city is more or less bilingual. It's half German, half French. But now it belongs to France at the moment. And... This border camp is not only going to take place in Strasbourg because it's at the German-French border, which is no longer enforced anyway. It's going to take place there because Strasbourg is also the central administrative and technical structure center for the so-called Schengen Information System. And this Schengen information system is said to comprise the so-called digital borders within the European Union. And therefore, people want to go there and to protest against the erection of those digital borders. What's also in Strasbourg is it's also the home of the European Parliament. And it's the home of the European Court of Human Rights.
So I imagine a shitload of huge concrete buildings built in Honecker style, and an amazing amount of people working in these buildings. So there should be enough to protest against.
Yes, if you look at those buildings, they are quite massive and quite widespread. There's a whole compound of buildings only pertaining to the whole European Union business. The building of the Schengen Information System itself is only one building. It is only one story tall, but it supposedly continues underground for more than that. They're not very specific about it, of course, because it's very secret and under highest level of security. But you can go and see this building, and I guess people are also going to do some protest at the gates of this building.
Mm-hmm. And the problem with this Schengen Information System is it's a virtual thing. So it pops up everywhere in the whole of Europe.
Well, not completely everywhere in Europe, I will start from the beginning. The Schengen Information System is something that was planned to be implemented when the so-called Schengen Agreement was reached. This Schengen Agreement, first of all, served the purpose of putting away with border controls between European Union member states. And at first they couldn't reach an agreement, so only Belgium, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, France and Germany joined into this. But in the following years, since this agreement was signed in 1990, all kinds of other countries joined. So up to now... all European Union countries except Ireland and Great Britain are part of the Schengen Agreement. And the Schengen Information System even extends further than that because it also includes Norway and Iceland, who are not members of the European Union. But they became members of the Schengen Information System because between the Scandinavian countries there was a passport union that meant that if you go from one Scandinavian country to the other, you can just do so if you are a member of, if you're a citizen of one Scandinavian country, and your papers, your credentials would not be controlled. So now the point is that within the Schengen Information System, all kinds of things are supposed to be filed. They tell us the Schengen Information System is mainly targeted against organized crime, against theft, and all kinds of criminal activity. But if you look at the statistics of what actually ends up in the Schengen information system, there are quite concise statistics from the year 1998, when already all the countries that are now members of the Schengen information system were members. And it turns out that there are some 8.6 million records in this Schengen information system. 7.5 of them pertain to some stolen property, mostly cars, actually. And the 88% of the rest only relates to people who immigrate into the European Union. So what this turns out to be is a tool of finding stolen and lost cars and finding illegal immigrants.
It's a custom service.
Well, yes, it is some kind of a custom service, because this is part of the Schengen Agreement that all the immigration and custom and visa and passport and so on laws and regulations are streamlined between all European Union countries. So actually not between all European Union countries, between all Schengen member countries. And they all use the same procedure to handle visas, to handle immigration, and also to handle extradition of people, mm-hmm. and sending immigrants back home and stuff like that.
But now for the difficult question, what's wrong with this?
Well, the problem with it is that as Europe is considered to be one of the major places where people want to immigrate into, because they imagine some prospect here, the European Union wants to restrict the number of people who can come into the European Union. Just went through in Seville, in Spain, to conclude the Spanish council leadership. The decision came up to actually sanction countries that do not provide for means that the people stay at home. So the European Union wants to have other countries, some third world countries and others, to make sure that people stay home and not come into the European Union. And this is something that goes against fundamental freedoms that have been written down in the Human Rights Charter of the United Nations and also in the European Union Human Rights Charter. And this includes freedom of movement.
And I thought this European business was about the freedom of movement and freedom of trade.
Yes, it claims to be, and this is actually very interesting, because in the first, if you read the Schengen Agreement, if you read the text on the Schengen Agreement, then it first says, yeah, this is here so people can move freely within the European Union without being subjected to controls and without being subjected to border crossings and all that stuff. But then, exactly in the next paragraph, it says that because people can now move freely, there have to be compensatory measures. That means as people can now move freely, we have to make sure that police can find those people if they move so freely and still crack down on them if they want to. So what they're actually explicitly saying is, for every amount of freedom you get, there's an equal amount of repression that will follow to make this freedom kind of like not worth what it could be.
Like the Dutch police is planning on doing a search on the body, mm-hmm. In a restricted area, so they can pick anybody in that area and just say, what do you have in your pockets? And this is one of the examples of the freedom you have to give in for some abstract freedom I have never seen yet, but perhaps will come.
Well, this, for example, the business of searching people, this is also something that is covered under these compensatory measures. For example, when we still had border crossings, border checks among all those European Union and Schengen member countries, people could be stopped at the border without having committed a crime, just on some suspicion of some border guard. And since there are no border crossings anymore, this same, just the same measure has been extended into the inland areas of the European Union countries, of the Schengen member countries. That means that somewhere after the border or before you cross the border, you can be stopped by police forces on no grounds whatsoever, stopped, searched, and being told to do whatever they seem necessary, they think necessary. And this is not even the end of the story. It goes even further now, since the Schengen information system was designed or was already planned to include all kinds of data on people, on what they do and what kind of trouble they raise. But after the 11th of September, everybody can be a terrorist. So that means that whoever is known to have been engaged in some activity anywhere around Europe, anywhere in any Schengen member country, be that being part of a political demonstration or being a will be filed in the Schengen system, entering countries where, for example, a political demonstration is going to take place, or a football match, or and so on and so on.
This doesn't seem to have to do anything with privacy or freedom of speech.
Well, it has everything to do with privacy and freedom of speech, because what happens as soon as... I mean, if you are within the European Union and you are not picked up on something, stopped by the police, your identity recorded and stuff, then you are quite private. But as soon as you are so imprudent as to take your right to freedom of speech, go to a demonstration and vocally state your opinion, you can be stopped and you will be filed, and then this is the end of your privacy and this is the end of your freedom of speech, because then you are prevented to go into a country where the next political demonstration is going to take place, and all kinds of data that pertain to you as a person will be recorded into this Schengen information system. And this is, I have to repeat that, this is a system that is spread over now 13 countries and covering pretty much all of Western Europe. Britain and Ireland are taking part of it, getting the benefits, but not even giving people the rights. So Britain and Ireland, they are adding their police records to the Schengen information system, and they're taking information out of it. But they will not abolish passport controls, for example. So they are even worse than the rest.
Okay. I want to be practical, like this camp coming up the 19th of July in Strasbourg. What do I expect? What do I find if I go there?
Well, this camp is just one camp in a long series of so-called No Border camps that have been... that have been set up at various points throughout Europe, always at some border, and even once in the United States, at the United States and Mexican border. And there was also the No Border Action in Woomera in Australia earlier this year. I think we brought a report on that. And that means that a number of groups is already in support of this. There is this whole No Border Network, as it's called, and groups from all over Europe, Italy, the Netherlands, Belgium, France, Spain, Poland, Ukraine, Czech Republic, etc., etc. So almost every European country is represented in this No Border Network, and this is the first so-called completely international No Border camp, where every participant from all nations should come. So it means that all kinds of activists against imprisonment, against defining people as illegal if they are in the country, against restricting free movement, and also against taking away privacy. All kinds of freedom of information and privacy activists are going to congregate there and meet there.